You are listening to The Friday Show. It's the Football Sack Podcast. We're back this week. My name is Jack Quigley, as it used to be as well. It hasn't changed. Your name is Christian Leyland, isn't it?
As far as I'm aware.
Well, that's good. We won't check official documentation or anything like that. Let's get into today's program. We have lots to discuss. We've got international football, because we've got the Socceroos to talk about. We also have international women's football.
Exciting times.
We have the Matildas to talk about. And we have some A-League stuff to talk about because the season draws ever closer.
Oh, we're only a month away or something, aren't we?
September, October, yes. We are a month away. Is it October 10?
Might be October 7 if they're bringing a game forward. Because
that's right, the Socceroos thing, isn't it? Yeah. God, I'm so sick of playing international football.
It's annoying,
isn't
it?
Every season, yeah. you're up and running for the new season, and then it all stops for international.
It just goes flat. Yeah. The EPL's the worst, because it used to be just one game. They came back for one game, and then there's the international break. You're just like, why bother?
Yeah.
This time it was three, but it's still frustrating.
And we'll finally get that momentum going over the next month again, and then it'll be taken away, snatched away from us. So cruel.
Like candy from a baby.
So cruel. Let's talk about our Socceroos, though. Fantastic start to qualifying, 6 points.
Yeah, you tell me, you know, before the matches, we'll get 6 points out of the first two games. We're like, you beauty, there could be nothing possibly wrong with
That's right. We laughed when you saw my notes before the program. I had the word Socceroos and then two arrows going off to the two separate scores. We had an arrow go to the 2-1 and an arrow going to the 3-1. And then an arrow branching off from the 2-1 that says awful, and an arrow branching off from the 3-1 that says quite good.
Yes, which is basically a summary.
I think that's a summary. So yeah. I'm glad we've covered the Socceroos. We'll move on now. The Thailand performance. What were your thoughts?
It wasn't very enterprising football, was it?
No.
It was very kind of one way going, let's go wide, let's put in a cross, and let's hope something awesome happens.
The worst part for me was I was at a work function, which was ridiculously put on the same night as the Socceroos game. So I was sat at the dinner table following Twitter, and it got to the point where I thought, I can't just be having my hand on the table all day on Twitter. So I thought I'd just start texting people.
You might be getting a few sus looks if you've got your hand on your table all night.
Yeah, especially if we started scoring, I started grinning. But thankfully, there was no danger of that happening. So I started just texting people, and then I asked a few people who I knew would be watching the game to text me every time we scored. And then I started getting really annoyed at my friends, because after about an hour, they just would not text me. I was like, I told you, text me every time we score. And then one of them replied and was like, yeah, I will. And then finally we knocked a few in. But look, I spoke to Pete
Doing
the Sunday show, actually. I made my first appearance on the Sunday show, which you've already done. So now we're dual podcast.
Oh, very people. Nice. Yeah,
actually, Matt would have been the first one to do it, wouldn't
he? This is true.
I said that the performance was crap, but at the same time, as long as it doesn't happen over an extended period of time, I think it's okay for the guys to have a bad night at the office, which they did. But best case scenario was we had a bad night at the office, we still got 3 points, and then went away to Saudi Arabia and put in a much better performance and took another 3 points. So I'm not too upset about the whole ordeal, to be honest.
No, that's right. I mean, come 2014, kick off to our first match in the World Cup, touch wood, who's going to give a crap about what happened against Thailand?
That's
opening
right.
night?
Yeah. I was pretty annoyed because, as I said, I couldn't watch it live. Mm-hmm. So I was always intending to watch it as soon as I got home and having recorded it. But, having listened to all my mates, analysis of the game, I knew it was going to be crap and I had to sit there and watch it anyway, which was pretty painful. But, few talking points from the Thailand game that I thought needed a mention was the fact that a midfield of Neil Kilkenny and Carl Valeri there was no confidence in that midfield from anybody else. I think it's more damning of Kilkenny, because obviously Valeri's there as the screening player. The players aren't looking to give him the ball as a distributor. But it just appeared that Kilkenny was just totally bypassed all night. They just wanted to go straight to Kennedy and not use Kilkenny. And Kilkenny had a poor game at the Adelaide Oval, which was blamed on the poor surface. He's had a poor game against Thailand. How many more can he have?
Well, if you have a look at Scott McDonald, you can get about 20 odd.
He's got 26 left in the bank, yeah.
That's right.
As
long as you sound Scottish, you'll be fine.
That's right, yeah. He'll get a job as the women's football coach.
Yeah, that's right.
So I thought that was worrying. And then we went into the Saudi Arabia game with a midfield duo of Cavallari and Mile Jedinak, who I can't stand as a player, and played really, really well. I thought Jedinak personally was still crap, but I thought the team played really, really
well. Yeah, I think it's two different mentalities, though. Like you said, you know, in the first game, they were kind of looking to just hit Kennedy or just go long. And as a player like Neil Kilkenny's, no matter how good he is or bad he is personally, he's not going to have a good game if that's how the rest of the team are going to be playing.
Yes.
Saudi Arabia, there's a lot more movement off the ball. I mean, Matt McKay in the midfield automatically creates that. And, you know, so the midfielders could have a chance to actually show what they're made of. Kilkenny didn't help his case with his poor pass to lead to Thailand's first goal. But, you know, he was just one person in a reasonably poor team performance that night. In saying that, of course, so Thailand came back and won 3-0 against Oman, so they're not a bad side either.
yeah, won 3-0 against Oman, who drew with the Saudis, and we were saying that's great. I just think we might just actually walk this group through second gear. I thought it was going to be tough, but expected us to top the group. Now I think that we'll just walk it.
Yeah, I mean, the Saudis are not as strong as they used to be. Oman, we've always had tough, close results against Oman, but so far they've showed less than nothing.
That's right.
They're a team version of Mitch Nichols. And we've already played Thailand, so we should be set.
Okay, that's great analogy there.
Yeah, no, thank you. It was a very delayed reaction too, I must say.
I was wondering where the Mitch Nichols connection was, and then I was quite slow on the uptake, but I did get it.
Yeah, no, that's very good. I actually really enjoyed watching the Saudis play against Australia. As a neutral, I thought it was very good. Just, you know, the very disciplined counter-attack they played. It was, obviously not in the same class, but it was very reminiscent of Inter Milan Barcelona, the Champions League semi-final that time. And I actually want them to go far. I would like to see them in the World Cup, and because they will shock a few nations along the way in qualifying if they keep playing like that. So that's my personal take on that.
Okay, great. Mm. Josh Kennedy amongst the goals again.
Yes. Now, wasn't that a brave decision to drop Cahill?
Yes.
That was a masterstroke.
For a qualifier. Mm. Yeah, not for a friendly. A qualifier to leave your best player out.
Yes. Under intense scrutiny as a coach for the poorest performance you've ever had.
Yeah.
And as a reaction.
That takes some clackers, doesn't it? It really does.
Yes.
Well played.
Yeah, well played, because it worked a treat. You know, obviously, everyone's saying, you know, Kennedy's great in the air, so everyone's trying to target him, but so's Cahill. And so he just removed one of them, and they said, we have to play defeat, and it worked to a treat. And yeah, it was just something that nobody saw coming.
Yeah.
And, you know, good. Well, good to him, so...
Well done, Holger. Mm. The Socceroos now obviously take a break until a month.
Yes.
So by about the time they've got over their jet lag of all getting back to Europe, they'll be getting on a plane to come back here and disrupt more club football by crashing the start of the A-League season.
Yes, yes. But hopefully... Well, it won't. It won't actually affect any A-League matches. Because we're not going to take a break. We don't take international breaks in the A-League.
Well, yeah, but I mean, effect is in a sense that, you know, the two biggest recruits for the A-League this season may miss the opening round. so it would have some
effect. That's fair. It'd be a massive build-up. We've got the whole new everything. You know, everyone's excited. And then we go, all right, the opening game with none of the stars.
Yes, that's right. It's a reserve team fixture.
So it's kind of like watching Dancing with the Stars. So
Well, not really, because the stars aren't there. Dancing without the stars would be
that's right. Yeah. But I was making an analogy.
Football without the stars would be the most accurate.
I was making an analogy that celebrities on Dancing with the Stars aren't actually that much of celebrity status in the first place.
Okay.
Yeah. Moving right along.
We'll edit all that out in post-production.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'll never make it to air.
Have you seen the new video on Girls FC Facebook page about the, they're asking questions to Matildas?
No.
Okay, there's a question there they ask. I think it was Ali Lewick. And they asked her a question about her favourite book or the book she read at the moment. And she's talking about how she's reading Water for Elephants. And then she just goes, wait, Water for Elephants? Is that the book's name? And the guy's like, yeah, no, it is. She's like, no, it's not. That just doesn't sound right. And she just makes an absolute complete fool of herself. And then she's like, that's all right, because these guys will just edit it out anyway. And just makes a really silly noise. And then, of course, that becomes the centrepiece of the video. So check that out on Girls FC. Anyway, you can just go to their page on Facebook and hit up videos, and you can see all of Ali Lewick's embarrassments, which is
excellent.
Excellent. That's right. She has great embarrassments.
She's a top embarrasser. Yes. I won't go over old ground too much. We talked about it on the Sunday show, but I do want to get your thoughts as a seasoned Brisbane football watcher. Your thoughts on the crowd for Thailand game, 24,000?
Okay, 24,000. My thoughts is you're not going to get any more than that anywhere else. To put it in perspective, a month or so ago, we had a friendly against Serbia, a top side in Melbourne. It only just reached 20,000.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So people are saying they would have sold out in Melbourne. Rubbish.
No, yeah. We wouldn't have. Yeah, I said on the show that if it was my choice and they said, where do you want your first qualifier, I would have said Suncorp.
That's right.
And I still would.
Yes, yes. I mean, 25,000, you know, for a World Cup game doesn't sound too impressive. But if you say 25,000 for a game against Thailand, then you go, actually, you know what?
Yeah,
it's we'll not take bad. That. Yeah.
I must say there was a little bit of disappointment there that more people didn't jump on those Brisbane Roar packages yes. that they offered.
So the $90 for three Brisbane Roar matches and
the Socceroos ticket.
Yeah, it is a bit of a disappointment, but again, you know, it's a late night match against Thailand.
Yeah.
First match of a World Cup thing.
In fact, it's probably for the best for football that a relatively small crowd, and I say small, I'm doing the little inverted commas yeah. things with my fingers that nobody listening to this show will hear.
Or see.
That's yes, that's right. Well, they could hear it if I... Well, that's just me rubbing the microphone, yeah. really. It was good that a relatively small crowd didn't witness that football match because it's a spectacle.
Yeah, they wouldn't have come back again.
It was a kick in the shins for football.
That's right. They could have been. They would have been because their last live football match most likely would have been the A-League Grand Final.
Yes, that's right.
One of the most amazing games of football yeah, seen in the last 20 years
it's
anywhere.
It's going from Moe to Passion Pop in two sets.
That's right.
Yeah.
They would have been like, oh, well, I guess it's, you know, the grass wasn't that green after all.
That's
so,
right. Yeah. The grass was really green.
Oh, isn't it?
The Suncorp looks great, I must say.
It's a great surface.
Yeah.
It's come a long way since Suncorp Stadium.
Suncorp Stadium, oh, yes. Yeah, all right. Let's move on. Let's talk Matildas. Mm-hmm. They're pretty much done and done for.
Absolutely. They see, it doesn't sound that bad. If they win their last match and DPR Korea lose their last match, then they're in. But... you know, DPR Korea play Thailand.
Yes, that's right. Thailand, who have conceded 13 goals in their four games so far.
Yes, and only
they have
one.
Scored one.
Against Australia.
Against Australia.
Good on them.
So Australia's fixtures so far, a 5-1 mm-hmm. win over the Thais, losing 1-0 to DPR, losing 1-0 to Japan, and winning 1-0 against China.
Yeah. See, the thing is, you know, lately I've found myself being very critical of the Matildas, but the game against Japan actually wasn't that bad. They could have, you know, Japan absolutely dominated, but Australia could very easily nabbed a winner or an equaliser late in the game. So, but the harsh reality is, at the last three, assuming Australia don't qualify, because they won't, because DPR will win their last game. So assuming they don't qualify, the last three major international tournaments, Australia's only qualified for one of them. And no matter how glossy or rosy you try to make it look, that's just not acceptable.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, if that...
Well, as you said, if it was the men's coach.
That's right.
Yeah.
If it was Pimver Baker, if it was Holger Osik, or any men's coach we've ever had or will have in the future, and they don't qualify for two out of three consecutive major tournaments, they're not going to be sticking around, are
yes.
they? Yes. Yeah. So, you know, the whole equality thing argument, I think, you know, Tom Smarty, great guy. You can't say it hard enough. He's a great guy to talk with and to hang around with everything, but he's just not performing as his role as Australian head coach for Matildas. So
it's a results business.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, it's not a nice guy business. It's a results business, and the results aren't coming. So we're hoping that we can get in a really good, high qualified coach. So we'll see what happens.
Awesome. So keep a close eye on that. The one thing that could potentially save Australia could be that 5-1 win over the Thais.
Mm-hmm.
If the Thais were to nab a draw,
yes,
then the goal difference will help Australia.
Mm. Yeah, that's right.
If Australia win and DPR draw, Australia will
Australia's
clinch
in
that spot.
Yeah, that's right.
But that's not going to happen.
It's the equivalent of, you know, Canada beating a combined Argentinian and Spanish side, i.e. Barcelona. It's just not going to happen. It's just... I mean, anything can happen in football, but it's very hard to see. If it does happen, well, we're in, and suddenly all the problems that we just talked about magically disappear somehow, but we can't see it happening.
No. All right, let's move on. Let's talk club football. Let's talk the A-League. As we said, we're a month away,
mm-hmm.
potentially less,
mm-hmm.
but no one knows. We've got the new A-League campaign, the ad came out. Was it yesterday?
It was yesterday.
It was yesterday. We are football is the new slogan, which is strange, but okay.
Yeah, people seem to be loving it. On Twitter, it was like pumping itself and stuff, so... Pumping itself and stuff. Great itself. English here.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. That was just the beat in the background. We were laughing because I only just saw it before the show we started. And
the video we're talking about here.
That's right. And all the highlights they chose to put in, you were laughing at the fact that one of... Because they only had like 120 seconds worth to fit in all the best bits of the A-League from last year to sell the product. And they put in like a shot of Ronaldo celebrating a goal with his shirt off, which he would have been booked for. They showed Nick Carl twice dragging the ball back away from a defender, which is the only thing he did all last season. So his entire highlights reel made the 1 minute and 20
second A-League highlight reel.
That's right.
Or even more peculiarly, the A-League goal of the season by Eric Partlow didn't even make the cut.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, the goal of the season was not included in the best bits of the season clip.
Yeah, I did like what you said because I mentioned Ronaldo taking his shirt off and celebrating. He got booked for that and later got sent off in that match because it's technically illegal play. And you're saying it's basically the same as showing someone doing a foul throw and just right. slow motion.
Slow motion with a heavy beat in black and white sepia sort of... And then having the referee sort of blow his whistle, and they show all the best bits.
They do, obviously. See, culling the goal of the year in the highlights thing or the warm-up for next season, is that saying that these marketers have no idea, or is it saying that really wasn't the goal of the season last year?
I don't know, yeah. But by putting in sort of, people taking their shirt off and stuff, the theme song should have been Things Can Only Get Better. and just play that for a minute and 20 seconds.
Imagine that as the A-League slogan. Things can only get better.
It should every year until like it gets a certain amount of credibility. You know how they've had a few different tunes. They had that song by the Presets.
They had Scribe there.
They had Scribe was the original. Yes, so it just should have. Every since for the first 5 years, the A-League should have been Things Can Only Get Better. and then they'll move on from seasons 5 to 10 till still haven't found what I'm looking for. if you have a suggestion for what you would like the official A-League theme song to be, contact us. You can Twitter us at TheFootballSack, or you can send us an email, info@thefootballsack.com, or join the Facebook group and contact us there.
Too easy.
Yeah. Yes. I reckon that's good. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, so am I.
More A-League stuff to talk about. Marco Richters, we had... a scoop on him a little while ago, saying that he was going to the Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. Phoenix couldn't afford him. Phoenix
couldn't afford his wages. So the Gold Coast, after our previous feature before Marco Richters going to Wellington, our previous feature was on Gold Coast United signing Alex Smith. They've given Alex Smith the flick so that they can fit Marco Richters into their squad. the football sake, breaking all the big stories
here. Oh,
that's
right. So it's Alex Smith rocked by the Richter scale or something like that.
Yes. Yeah. Because a lot of people were really excited about Alex Smith, and what he was going to bring, but obviously he won't be bringing it.
No, it hasn't been brought.
I do feel sorry for him.
As you do. I mean, in a way you do, because he wanted to prove himself, he wanted to play, et cetera, but in the same way, he's got a year's wages for hanging around for a few weeks.
Yeah, and he is a professional footballer.
That's right.
So he's instantly, I'm envious of him.
Yeah, he's actually gone back to Sydney Olympic, and he scored a goal in his comeback match. Apparently, the coach and Alex Smith didn't tell the Olympic boys that he was playing, so he just rocked up into the dressing rooms as they were preparing for the match, and the whole boy's like, what are you doing
here? Yeah, that's right.
He just kind of surprised them, which I thought was a bit of a nice touch.
And scored, that's cool. Yeah. Well, he has a chance to score against A-League opposition this week.
He does.
In Brett Emerson's first appearance for Sydney FC, what's rumoured to be his first appearance for Sydney FC. So if you are in Sydney and you'd like to see Brett Emerson wearing a sky blue shirt, it's only going to cost you $15.
Getting to Belmore Stadium. Yep. This is the grand opening of their new grandstand, their old stand, which is just refurbished. Fancy that.
Yeah.
And I mean, it should be good. I mean, apparently Olympic are bringing in some of their old classic players. Don't ask me who they are, but some
classic players.
Classic players. It's like we're playing FIFA, getting the classic 11
out. That's right, yeah. Classic players is another word for fat players.
Fat old players.
Fat balling blokes. Classic.
Yeah. Especially, as a local club.
It's like when you get a really bad tiny chocolate and they call it fun size. It's not fun at all.
Yeah.
It's a letdown. And so is watching old blokes play when you want to watch the A-League.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I guess it's kind of like, we have a local club here, Otello Stars, and at the start of the season they played Marconi.
Yes.
And they brought in, you know, all their classic players.
I remember that.
It was just all these old guys from around the place who haven't played for a few years.
There was talk of guys like Chad Gibson, ex-Brisbane Roar and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or Queensland Roar when he was there.
Mm-hmm.
It just turned out to be a retirement home 11.
That's right. Chad Gibson, I think he plays for Locomotive Cove now, the Sydney FC Supporters Club. Yeah. So he's obviously going up in the world. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's funny watching, really reading the Brisbane forums, because they do give him a lot of flack. They say, like, you know, he was an okay player. He's probably the worst captain in football history. So.
He was the face of the A-League that first year what was the song you mentioned before? Scribe.
Scribe, yes.
That ad campaign where they're kicking balls against walls and paint and everything like
football,
that.
Football, you know it.
Yes, that was it. Yes. And he was sort of the face of the A-League, because he was Brisbane Roar's representative in that.
Mm. And he had his own, you know, column in 442 magazine and stuff as well.
Yeah, after Simon Lynch.
Oh, nostalgia. It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. Washed up footballers.
Talking about washed up footballers, Perth's on someone.
Shock horror. Yeah, that was probably the best segue that you've ever done. Better than any I've ever done, so probably the best one on the show.
Quantity over quality?
Yes. Talking about washed up footballers, Perth Glory have signed Billy Mehmet. This guy's broken records everywhere. He was signed by West Ham in the Premier League as an 8-year-old.
Wow, yes.
He was the youngest player to score in a first team match. He was 14.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah, and he was with the club for like 11 years, captained the youth team, has done nothing until the age of 27 and has washed up at Perth Glory. well done, Billy, and well done, Perth. Perth Glory, he is a striker, but I don't know how he's going to get a game, because Shane Smeltz, with thanks to this pre-season that has gone for about 10 years, since joining Perth and having not played an official game, I think he's already scored about 1,000 goals. he's scored in just about every game they've played, which is the way Shane Smeltz does business, to be honest.
He's a great pickup for Perth. So, yeah, so in this whole pre-season, he's actually already scored more than Romario scored in his whole career.
Yes,
so.
That's right. Yeah, he's already hit the 1,000.
But yeah, no, they're saying that yes, Mehmet, or however you like to pronounce him, is going to be some sort of holding player, and so Shane Smeltz can run off him and do all that sort of stuff. So we'll see what happens.
We'll see. If you can think of any, here's a challenge. I want people listening to contact us with the name of an A-League player that no one else would remember he actually played in the A-League. You know those obscure players, like a Chad Gibson.
Yes, okay.
Someone from the, you know, the first season of the A-League or something like that, that only had a few games. And if you can contact us with a player that we genuinely forgot about, I'll read your name out in the show next week.
Oh, you can't get much more.
That's
amazing than that.
That's right. You will be getting your name read out on an award-winning podcast.
Yes.
Potentially a dual award-winning podcast.
Now, how good would that be?
It is, because the fine people here at Southern Cross University,
whose studios
we are frequenting,
have
nominated us for an award for excellence in the arts.
How about that?
This podcast, which is lovely. And I asked them why we're in the arts, and they said it was the category that we probably fit best into. So they seemed keen to nominate us.
They did.
Just had to find a way of tweaking it.
Because we're obviously not science and chemistry. We're not sports. Well, we like to think we're sports people.
We like to think we're sports, but because we're unfit as hell, they put us in the arts.
That's right. I'm still devastated we didn't get, you know, number 4 and 5 in Southern Cross Uni's best 15 there.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, the team of the year for the rugby club. We shockingly missed out on having played a whole game together in the second row, which is, if anyone's seen the two of us, we're not built like second rowers.
Yes,
we've made our careers in the outside backs. More A-League.
More A-League talk.
Brisbane, Matt Smith, new captain.
New captain, yeah, I guess it was between him, Stefanuto, and Theo.
I thought Stefanuto was going to get it. He was my pick.
Yeah, probably. If you ever look at how many games he played, he missed out on over 10 games last year just due to injury. He's not always on the pitch. Theo, obviously, they wanted someone more on the field. See, my dark horse was Eric Partaloo.
That's not a bad show, actually.
He played almost every game, and he's in the middle of the park. He's obviously very inspiring. So, but you know, Matt Smith got it. The thing which I thought may have let Matt Smith down is that because there's such a huge demand for his position now.
Yes, that's right.
But
We spoke about it a couple of weeks ago about how rich they are in that position. But look, well done to Brisbane for showing faith in him, and let's hope he repays it. And best of luck to Brisbane for the season.
Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of Brisbane, they've released their new kit, as a lot of other teams are, and you know, we've talked about. But I just wanted to make a special mention for Brisbane because they've ditched the orange and maroon that hasn't been working for the last however many years. But instead of going back to the orange and blue that a lot of people loved, I don't think you loved it
too much. I actually thought the dull orange and the maroon actually work well together. Yeah. I actually really enjoyed it, but I seem to be in the minority.
Yes.
So I guess
Just most people I've spoken to, yourself aside, were big fans of that first season. With the blue shorts, and it was very bright and colourful, which I think the whole A-League first season was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Apart from the compulsory white away kit thrill, which nobody can still. Whoever came up with that, should never work for the FFA again. But Brisbane Roar have gone for the black. To complement the orange. They've gone all Dundee United on us.
Or Hull City, for that matter.
Yeah, well, Hull's more of a yellowy.
Isn't it? Yeah, this is true. Sorry, continue.
The orange is very Brisbane, but the shorts I'm not keen on.
No, the shorts. You look at them and you just.
I think I saw West Tigers run out in them last weekend.
That's right. Yes, exactly.
They look like a combination of rugby league shorts and training shorts. Just that big orange patch and the sponsor on the one leg. I just think all black shorts. It's probably where it would have gone.
All black shorts would have probably made the entire kit probably perfect, but you just look at the shorts and you just go, why? It was because I'm sure you've seen it, but if you haven't, you got the orange kit and you got a little black patch on the right shoulder, and then you got the black shorts and an orange patch on the left leg knee area.
Yeah,
and it's just so out of place.
Yeah,
it works on the away kit.
The away kit, because there's a symmetry there. Isn't it? Yeah.
But in when you put the shorts together with the home kit, it looks like a 3-year-old with the terrible twos has just scribbled a crown and they just went with that. Yeah, it
a was 3-year-old with the terrible twos.
I was hoping you weren't going to pick up on that.
You just saw the smile start to creep across my face. Oh dear, dear! Lent too close to the microphone.
So yeah, that's I mean, look, like you said, we'll probably learn to love it, or more closely, we'll learn to ignore it. But yeah, so the shirts themselves, the kits, the black away shirt and the orange home kit, I really, really do like them, and I will purchase at least one of them. The shorts, just I'm not a fan.
Yeah, you'll be skipping the shorts.
That's right.
Most people do.
Yeah. You got the goalkeeper's kit as well.
Yeah, you hate that, don't you?
I do. I just think it looks. I don't even know how to describe it. I just don't like the look of it. I like solid colours for the goalkeeper's kit. You know, shirt, shorts, and socks, all just the same. And it just kind of looks good. They've kind of, it's like it's thatch work on his shirt. I don't even know how to describe it. It's just, not a fan.
You're not a fashion designer.
See, I'm being really negative, but the fact is, their kits are actually, their shirts, home and away shirts, are actually really nice. So I'm actually happy with the whole thing. I'm just being picky for the negatives.
Yes, of course. Well, speaking of things we'd like to tweak in the A-League, this was a topic we thought we'd throw out to the listeners to get in touch for next week. What are the little tiny things in the A-League that you would tweak that would make it better? Now, I'm not saying, full houses and, let's sign David Beckham and Lionel Messi and whatever. And, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about little things that you notice when you watch the A-League that just kind of sticks in your craw a little bit that you wish you could tweak. So, for example, I want to bring back white goal nets. I don't think every club should have to have a yellow goal net. I think it's generic and it's boring. Have big goal nets, small goal nets, nets being held up high, nets that drop down. Each club should have their own look.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't like the way that every club looks the same.
Yeah, I used to
goal you watch on highlights looks like it could have been scored at any stadium in the league.
I used to like watching back in the old days of the EPL. I think it might have been Southampton, how they had the really shallow goal nets. Yes. Just kind of just cut themselves off like half a metre.
You could barely fit a ball in there over the line before it was touching the net. Yeah,
that's right. It was just you get some character into the clubs. They each have their kind of specific goal nets and colours. Like, in the EPL, City's is black, while that other team's is...
Newcastle United will have black and white stripes. Some of them have red and white. All that sort of stuff. And then you go to Wembley and you could almost fit like a living room in the space between the goal line and the back of the net.
It's like when Stoke play, they put a bus in front of the goal. I mean, they could put a bus in the goal
actually just drive it out and just park it. That's actually where they keep it. So that's something I'd like to change. Your pet hate for a long time.
Yes, and I think a lot of people have mentioned it, so I might be a bit old or cliche, but I want to get rid of the garden chairs.
Yeah, and because every stadium in the league has benches.
They do.
And yet the A-League insists on sitting in front of the benches on plastic chairs.
I mean, like, because I was at the VPL and WPL Grand Finals at Amy Park last weekend. Amazing game of football, the VPL was. But the one thing I noticed is that... they used the benches.
Yeah, that's right.
And guess what? It didn't affect their performance.
It turns out those benches aren't evil.
Yeah, that's right. They do actually work. Yeah. I mean, just look at the NRL or the AFL or any other sporting competition in the entire world.
Look at the Sydney Football Stadium. You've got NRL players and Super 14 rugby players. They're bigger than footballers.
Yes.
If the bench don't break when they sit on them, then they're not going to break when the A-League plays.
That's right. And I was saying this earlier, before we started the podcast, I said, there's an extra incentive that we need good benches this year because, of course, with the arrival of Harry Kewell and other players at Melbourne Victory, Carlos Hernandez is probably going to be spending more time on the bench.
And we don't know how long those Bunnings chairs are going to hold out.
I just don't know if the Bunnings chairs can take it.
That's right, yeah. They're going to have to roll out that plastic mat stuff underneath because otherwise he will just sink into the ground on a wet day. And his chair will end up, you know, the steward's chairs, they chop them off so that they don't sit too high in front of the fence and block someone's view.
Yes.
So the legs of the chairs are about 2 inches long. His will be like that. Yeah. And his legs will be straight out in front of him. And he'll get up, someone will have to walk over and pull the chair up out of the wet mud.
It'd be like one of those beach chairs you can get,
It's
so you're also saying in that case it might actually make it easier to signify which spot it specifically Carlos is, because it'll be like one where they've actually stacked two or three chairs on each other.
Just for some stability. I'd also like to see a crowd for Gold Coast United. That's just a little tweak I'd make.
A few
people to turn up to the match.
Actually, what I wouldn't mind is seeing, even if the crowd stays the same, I'd like to see the crowd shifted to the other side of the stadium.
There we go. Okay, so that's what I would do. So instead of improving the crowd, because I said not to say that at the start, but then I said it, let's push them around and sit them on the far side. So when you watch on TV, you don't look like you're watching a European match that's been moved to a neutral venue behind closed doors. New Zealand Knights used to do it. They used to play at North Harbour Stadium. Mm-hmm. North Harbour Stadium has this fantastic stand on one side. It looks like the Sydney Olympic Stadium on one side, but on the other side there's just nothing. Mm-hmm. So they put the camera on the other side and it looked like they were playing this fantastic Stadium Australia like stadium, which was great to watch. But Gold Coast United don't think that way.
No. I mean, I can see there are logistical problems in that because you've got all the corporate boxes and such on the camera side. But is it really an insurmountable problem?
Is it the law that the corporate boxes have to be sat near the general public? Or could you just have those corporates? I know Wellington do it. They have the crowd on the far side and the corporate a lot of the corporate boxes are on the camera side. So, it can be done.
Yes, it
may actually just require employing two or three more stewards to actually push people around.
Well, see, here's the thing, like, you look at the skill of Park, and even on those areas, the sides where the crowds aren't, they actually still have
that's the easiest job in the world. Crowd control for nobody. That's what he's being paid for. Dear. Next thing, they'll be on horses. All right, so contact us, info@thefootballsack.com, Twitter us @thefootballsack, Facebook us with little tweaks that you would make to the A-League that would just make it so much better. And if we'll come up with like a top 10 and we'll send it to the FFA.
Yeah, too easy. And I mean, obviously they're going to take our advice because we are the Football Sack.
So. That's right. And then once they receive that and make those tweaks, the new song for the A-League will be Moving On Up.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Oh, of course. Very nice. I like it.
That'll do us for today.
Yeah, I think so.
I think we've bored everyone to death. So until next week.
See you later.
It's been a pleasure. Christian Leyland, Jack Quigley, the Football Sack Friday Show. See you guys.